Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect." The world is full of sins, and it is in such a strong flow of flesh. So people don't even realize that they are doing evil. It's very hard to find goodness. Signs of the end time appear every place. Sad news about wars, murders, violence, hatred, and fight often fill newspapers and TV news. Love cooled down between people, and the world became dark to the extent that it's awkward even to talk about goodness. But our Father God is goodness and light itself. He has no darkness, no shifting shadow, no unrighteousness or flesh. So we, the children of God, should resemble Father God, not the enemy devil and Satan. To do so, we gotta fulfill goodness in our heart. In no way must you ever be caught up in the flow of flesh by following this world, but be set apart as God's children in this flow of spirit. Of course, it's not easy to pursue goodness in this world, which is full of sins and evil. It is because sin and evil is rampant in the world, and also because we have sins and evil in our hearts. But God's children, especially mommy members who are listening to the holiness gospel and don't cease to pray, can possibly cast off sins and evil. We can make changes in our hearts and shine the world with the light of goodness and love. Also, we have to do so. We are obliged. And this change can be done more quickly through the fiery refinements. A while ago, I was visiting church members with one of my parish leaders. Back then, you know, I was in a parish pastor. She has been doing her best to take care of souls in this time of blessing. You know, when things happen, you know, she used to ask me all the time. And then when I give her, you know, any kind of instruction, you know, she took care of those souls. Well, most of the leaders of our church do so. However, she suddenly said like this, "Pastor, I think I gotta deal with goodness. What should I think and act when I deal with people, you know, who are extremely evil? What kind of prayer should I pray for them?" Before, she got angry at those people, you know, who did evil to her, but now she felt sorry for them. I was so happy to hear that. I talked with her about it, and we separated after the visit schedule. When I thought of the way, you know, how to do goodness, I was reminded of the sermons, you know, which was about goodness given by a senior pastor, you know. When I armed myself with the word about goodness, you know, I felt easy and happy. And I was surprised many times, you know, because he preached as if, you know, he was preaching just recently. So, I prepared this sermon referring to senior pastor's sermon series, Goodness, Love Chapter, and the Fifth Revival Meeting. Of course, I'm not preaching this because I have fulfilled goodness in me. You know, while preparing this sermon, I also had great realize. I thought the level of goodness that God desires for us to fulfill is so high, but I fulfilled only basic. I looked back on myself and repented. Today, I'll tell you the definition of goodness, and I'll explain about each level of goodness. Father God loves Mamin, and He has led our Mamin so that we can accomplish such goodness. While listening to this, please do not think, "I'm just in this level," but think with gratefulness, you know, and say, "God believes in us and leads us like this." I pray in the name of the Lord that all of you may become beautiful fruits of goodness as God the Father desires. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you should distinguish what the good will of God is and act according to it. And mommy members want to go to New Jerusalem, right? Then you gotta resemble Father God and accomplish the goodness. Then you gotta know how to distinguish goodness and evil. Before that, you gotta know what goodness is. So I'm going to tell you about them. Goodness is the truth, the word of God. It's the will and thought of God itself. So what does it mean? God has no darkness at all. He is the perfect light. Because God is perfect goodness, everything from God's heart and mind is good. God Himself is the standard of goodness. Then we should not judge the goodness by our own standard. We gotta know that Father God Himself is goodness and He is the standard. If you read the Bible, sometimes, Father God judge the world or give some kind of, He seems to give, plages. And people thought, people may think Father God is not good at all. Well, there are actually such people who think like that. However, we've learned from our senior pastor, through his teaching and through his message, that everything has been based on the love of Father God. Father God is not evil. Father God, from His utmost in extreme love, He has done everything. Luke 18 verses 19 and 18, when a person questioned Jesus saying, "Good teacher," and Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Likewise, Jesus also tells us, God alone is perfectly good and He is the standard of goodness. Well, let's look into this verse more carefully. Our Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit existed in the form of God. Naturally, the hearts of the Lord and the Holy Spirit are goodness itself too. And why did Jesus, who is goodness itself, say, no one is good but one that is God? It's because people at that time didn't know that Jesus existed in the form of God, that He was the Son of God. They considered Jesus as just a man, a mere creature. While they did not know He had existed in the form of God, if He said, "I am goodness itself," they would misunderstand and say, He is a human being like us. Why is He saying so? That's why Jesus said, no one is good except God alone. It is to let the people know that people, as mere creatures, can never reach the perfect goodness. Another reason is that at the time, Jesus was an atoning sacrifice who should take the sin of all mankind. Of course, Jesus is sinless. He doesn't have original sin nor any self-committed sin. But He came to this earth to redeem mankind from sins. Up until He finished up the providence of salvation, His position was an atoning sacrifice to take the sin of mankind. Although He was sinless, He had to be like a sinner. That's why He didn't say He was good. However, what happened after Jesus fulfilled His duty on this earth and resurrected from the death to become the Savior? His goodness was the same and completely one with Father God's goodness. Also, not only the heart of the Lord, but also the heart of the Holy Spirit is good. Therefore, if God's children who receive the gift of the Holy Spirit acts after the desire of the Holy Spirit completely, they can achieve the perfect heart of goodness as well. When the Holy Spirit reflects your heart on the perfect standard of goodness, you can realize you had so many aspects that were not good. But when you live in the world without believing in God, you don't even think that it was not good. So, let's look into how to discern good and evil in this world. Who is good in the sight of the worldly people? The definition of word goodness is the quality or state of being good, or of a favorable character or tendency. Can you clearly understand what goodness is by this definition? Well, I thought it was vague and uncertain. You want to know what good is because you want to live in goodness, but it's not easy to find the clear answer. So people began to discern good and evil by their own standard. And this standard is called conscience. What is it? Well, you got to repeat after me. This is conscience. People feel comfortable if they act well according to their conscience. Otherwise, you know, they feel the pang of conscience. So good people in the world, you know, they try to live in accordance with their own, you know, good conscience. However, there is a problem to say that, you know, this conscience is the standard of goodness. Because everyone has a different conscience. Some people say it's evil about something, but at the same time, other people say it's okay. It's natural. As people are born and grow up, you know, they mix up truth and untruth and make their own standard of judgment and value. Because it's mixed with, you know, truth and untruth, it cannot be the perfect standard to discern good and evil. The absolute truth and goodness must be the standard. But if it's mixed with untruth, you may misjudge things. Also, conscience is different according to generations and regions. Although you live in the same generation and same area, each of you has a different conscience. It depends on what kind of environment you've grown up. Depending on where you learn from, you know, where and which, you know, who your parents were. So even twins, you know, from each one's own inner conscience, you know, even twins have different inner conscience. There are so many things that look good to someone but look bad to others. And the things that look good in one country are considered not good in another country. So conscience cannot be the absolute standard of goodness. Only the everlasting and unchanging word of God is the absolute standard of goodness. However, conscience, the people's standard of goodness of people, and the standard of goodness according to God's word are very different. A simple example. Your parents were killed by someone. So what is good to do? Generally, people think it's natural duty of children to revenge their parents, and it's righteous and it's good. In some novels, you know, they imply that revenge is the rightful way of the children and righteousness itself to take revenge when their parents are killed unfairly. People urge the children to revenge, or in the children themselves make up their mind to revenge. Senior pastor once explained on this. So, in most of the novels, you know, they take revenge for their parents' death. Because they think it's their duty to revenge. However, if they revenge, the problem becomes rather bigger. When the children grow up, you know, they kill the enemy to revenge their parents' death. Then it's their revenge, but their enemy and his family think them as their own enemy again now. So if the children took revenge, it will create another enmity. The tragedy will bring about more tragedies, and it ends with tremendous damage on both sides. So will God say to revenge? He will not, as you might guess now. God says, it is evil to take revenge, but it is goodness to forgive. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 43 and 44, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He said to love, he told us to love, you know, our enemies. When senior pastor, you know, preached, he also said like this, you know, God says to love your enemy. God tells us to love your enemy. Then if you cannot love even people who you are not in your enemy, how evil it is. If you cannot love even your own brothers in faith or your family, how evil it is. Jesus says, you know, we gotta pray for those, you know, who persecute you. Senior pastor said, however, you know, senior pastor told us not to pray like, you know, Father God, that person persecute me and curse me. Please repay it for me. Instead, you know, he told us to pray a good prayer like this, you know, Father God, please give him grace and let them understand if there is anything wrong, you know, please resolve any misunderstanding and ill feelings. And please give me wisdom to resolve this matter. He also said, you know, we gotta pray for blessing for them. Of course, you know, depending on that person's situation, you may have to pray so that, you know, they can repent and receive spiritual blessings first. But commonly, you know, you should not pray with good for him not to go wrong, but to be prosperous in spirit and body and be blessed. Romans 12:20 says, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap in the burning coals on his head. He tells us to, you know, feed your enemy if he is hungry, and to give him, you know, drink if he's thirsty. Generally, people think about their enemy, I hate him. I even hate to come close to him. Why is he doing well like that? You know, they even think he must receive what he has done. And they think it is true. But God says the opposite. In the verse I read, you know, the enemy is in difficulties. At the time, you shouldn't turn away from him saying, you know, he deserves it. But you should give what to eat and drink and do with goodness. It says, for in doing so, you will, you know, heap burning coals on his head. If you act love, you know, with your heart like this, God will work, and after all, you can make peace with him. When you are unfairly treated, the solution of the world and the solution of God are opposite. So what should we choose? We should choose God's solution. When we love and forgive even our enemies, the tragedies of, in the bloodshed, bringing in the moral about bloodshed, you know, will not continue. So, we should diligently learn the word of God that is the standard of perfect goodness. And we should also put into action what we learn and accomplish in our heart so that we can reach complete and true goodness. However, there is some process to fulfill perfect goodness. As we have to climb up steps to go to the second floors from the first, there are steps to reach the level of perfect goodness. So from now on, I'll tell you the four different steps of the process of accomplishing the perfect goodness. First, it is the first level of goodness. The first level of goodness is not to react in evil, even though you have some ill feelings in you when somebody does some evil act to you. Once again, it is not to react in evil, even though you have some ill feelings in you when someone does evil to you. Say, you are talking with someone. However, there was some misunderstanding, and the other cursed at you and beat you out of anger. If you are in the first level of goodness, you cannot bear with it. You think, you know, what is the use of fighting back? You know, God tells us not to fight back, so let me just bear it. So you can bear with it without, you know, cursing it back. But, you know, so you don't react with evil, but inside your heart, it's painful to bear the ill feelings because you have feelings of being, you know, victimized. But because you know God's word, or to show your education, you just suppress your feelings. Well, even this kind of person may seem to be very good and mild on the outside. You know, there are people like that in the world. Because he does not fight back, but endures it through, you know, even though he is not a fool. The people say, he can live even without the law. You think, is it good for you? Well, this kind of person is not truly good in God's sight. Because God does not look at the appearance, but the inner heart. It is better than fighting back, but, you know, God still deems it evil if you just suppress your ill feelings that are burning inside your heart. It is because you still have evil in your heart. Therefore, Even though you don't pay back evil with evil, because you still have evil in your heart, this level cannot even actually, you know, belong to a level of goodness. So, you gotta cast off evil diligently and achieve the second level of goodness. Senior Pastor Sermon Series, you know, teach us how to cast off evil in great details. First, you gotta even force to bear and control yourself not to expose your evil. But you should keep controlling it, because without casting off evil, it will burst out at any moment after all. So you gotta cast off ill feelings from your heart. To take the higher level of goodness, it is important to know your current level of goodness. Say, you didn't achieve even the first level of goodness and you cannot hold your ill feelings. Then how can you say you long for the third or fourth level of goodness? You gotta know which level of goodness you are at first. Only then can you find the exact way to change. But today, there are Christians who act more evil than even the worldly people. So, you have to realize what kind of level of goodness you're at. And then you have to understand the each level of goodness. And once you know which level of goodness you are in, then you can find the ways to improve yourself. So, if Christians truly believe in God, you know, they will believe the word of God, which is full of goodness, and try to live according to it. Right? Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate." God hates evil. If you truly believe in God, you will fear God, hate evil, and follow the truth and goodness because you hate evil. But if you act evilly, just like the worldly people, or if you do more evil than them while, you know, confessing that you have faith in God, it is the evidence that you do not fear or even believe in God. Luke 18 verse 8, our Lord said, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" As the end comes nearer, the world is full of sins, and it's hard to find goodness and people. It's hard to find people who have true faith. But as the darkness gets thicker, even a small light will be very visible, right? So if you act in true goodness in this world where the love has cooled down and people are acting more and more evil, you can become light to the world and lead many people to the light. And you can give glory greatly to God the Father. Just by suppressing your ill feelings, even though you don't, you know, pay back evil with evil, you cannot be acknowledged by God as truly good person. So what kind of heart and acts are deemed as true goodness by God the Father? The second level of goodness that I'll tell you about now. The second level of goodness is that you will certainly not have any kind of discomfort or ill feelings, much less, you know, pay back evil with evil. Let me give you the same example. At the first level of faith, when you deal with someone who, you know, did evil to you, you suppress your ill feelings. But at the second level of faith, you don't even have, you know, such ill feelings even though someone does evil to you. You got no ill feelings at all. You don't need to suppress it. Your heart is so easy. So it's not just suppressing your ill feelings and your broken heart. You will not have any kind of hatred or discomfort whatsoever against the other person. It is to have no evil at all in your heart. It can be deemed a heart of spirit. This is the minimum level of goodness that God can recognize. Of course, there are steps until, you know, you reach this level. You know, when you suffer something evil, You might have, you know, momentary ill feelings or agitation of your heart, even though, you know, you do not pay it back with evil. But even at those times, if you control your mind and try to understand with goodness, you can accomplish goodness where you don't even have any kind of ill feeling. We can see this kind of case. It is the case of Joseph, the husband of Virgin Mary. One day, Joseph came to know that his fiancée is pregnant without his knowledge. He would judge that Mary had committed adultery. We know that, you know, Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit, right? But, you know, Joseph would judge like that. He would not know that she was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So what would an ordinary man have done? He might have tried to punish her according to the law. Probably stoning her to death, right? Even if he had endured, he would not have been, you know, comfortable in his heart. He would have had, you know, great, you know, ill feelings because he would think he was betrayed by his fiancée. But Joseph was different. Matthew 1, verse 19 says, Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. He didn't make it known to others. He didn't, you know, become angry. He just tried to solve it secretly. He did so even though he had not received the Holy Spirit, nor casted off, you know, sins by fighting to the point of shedding blood. It tells us his heart was so good. That's why God could tell Joseph who was this, you know, good, you know, that the baby conceived in Virgin Mary was Jesus, who would become the Savior. Since Joseph was good, he could hear the voice of God. 1 John 5:18 says, we know that no one who is born of God sins. You cannot say that, you know, you were born of God if you sin. It shows that you are under the control of the enemy, devil, and Satan. It says, he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. If you obey the work of the enemy, devil, and Satan, even though you attend church regularly, you cannot, you know, either be protected by God nor receive blessings, even if they're, you know, even if you're attending church. But if you just accomplish the minimum level of goodness that God can acknowledge, the darkness will be driven away by your light. Because you and I know this fact, you know, we are striving to change, to be good, and achieve the heart of spirit. Earlier, I said that, you know, it's important to know your level of goodness to take the higher level of goodness. It goes the same at the second level of goodness. Only when you act good at the second level of goodness all the time, you know, are you truly at the second level. When you are unfairly treated, sometimes you feel calm, but sometimes you feel uneasy. Then you are not at the second level of fairness. Second level of goodness. You shouldn't say, even after you were shaken, it's not because of my evil in me, it's because, you know, the other did wrong. Let me give you some examples. It's an example that senior pastor made. Say, you are in charge of some work, and the work went wrong due to a mistake of your workers. In this kind of case, many of you repent and say in front of senior pastor, it's my fault. I didn't take care of it properly. It's very rare for you to blame your own, you know, staff or workers or to give him excuse, you know, trying to get away from your responsibility in front of him. But what you do next is important. If you truly feel responsibility, you will repent and try to take action about it. However, although you repented before your boss, you still blame your worker to some extent on one corner of your heart. And you may rebuke your worker along with the bad feeling, you know, coming from, you know, difficulty that you had faced. You said it was your fault in front of your boss. But if you still blame your worker after you left, you know, you cannot be considered good. You cannot be deemed good. You cannot even say, you know, you have repented. Even though it was your subordinate's fault, if you truly put the blame on yourself because you are the supervisor, What should you do? You should look back on yourself and you will love the worker more with actions. You should encourage and help him so that he can, you know, do job better. You got to do this with all your wisdom. If you act humbly and say it is your fault in front of your boss or others, and if you put blame on others later, it's not goodness. If you do with goodness, Father God will give them grace. If you know, Father God will give you grace and help you so that, you know, the same mistake will not happen. Although it's not your fault, if you look back upon yourself and try not to make mistakes by doing well, you know, how lovely you will look in God's sight. God will give you grace and strength to change, right? Proverbs 12:2 says, a good man will obtain favor from the Lord, but he will condemn a man who he devises evil. We had another time of blessing in our church in 1998 and 1999. At the time, senior pastor overcame the time with praying earnestly with the church members. Now you know, who were there, must remember he didn't blame on anyone when he prayed. He put the blame on himself. He said, Father, it's all my fault. I didn't teach them right. I didn't, you know, make them realize correctly. But then God said to him, Son, it's not your fault. You did nothing wrong. Because they were evil, they plotted such evil schemes. And it's allowed because of God's providence. When the senior pastor overcame, God said, because you overcame, you would receive greater power, and the world would be expanded before you. It's been accomplished just as God said. All glory be to God. Senior pastor never blamed others later after he prayed that it was his fault. Actually, there have been also things that made him cry and mourn secretly since the church's start. He brought down power and preached with all his life because he loved God who saved him so much. Sometimes, some souls left the church and turned their back to him. Even some souls did extremely evil to him. It's not our senior pastor's fault. However, senior pastor said, it's my fault. I didn't teach them correctly, so it's my fault. That's what our senior pastor said. Well, there is one more thing to track. It is the case that you are not directly related to some faults. Somewhat different, right? So it's when you see someone else receiving a rebuke. Then you gotta check your heart at the time. You may think it is good for you because you are not related. Or you may rebuke the person together standing at the position of the one who was rebuking that person. Some even think, you know, he deserves it. But if you're truly good, you would feel such great pain in your heart when someone else is having a hard time. But if you check your heart, what kind of level of goodness you got, you will see. When you, you know, face some difficult situation, that's the best time to check your heart, whether you got evil in your heart or not. If you think that, man, he is being rebuked, he deserves it. If you have that kind, even a little bit of that kind of heart, you cannot say you are at the second level of goodness. If you're truly good, you know, you would feel, you know, pain in your heart when someone else is being rebuked. Even though the work was not directly related to you, you may think it would not have happened if I had helped him. You know, then you would look back upon yourself with distress, right? So sometimes it may seem that those who are good in their hearts are suffering a hardship, but eventually they will receive God's blessings. Therefore, we should be more eager to achieve heart of goodness by thinking good in everything, you know, having the heart of goodness and acting with goodness. But even though we are longing for achieving, heart of goodness, sometimes we gotta get angry. The typical case is when you see someone doing harms to God's kingdom. Jesus also was so angry to those who were selling and buying in the sanctuary. Even when God's sanctuary is defiled and God's name is disgraced, if you don't do anything but say, God says to do good, or if you agree with it, then it's not goodness at all. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus strongly rebuked the Pharisees and scribes in front of people. He even said, "You brood of vipers, for you are like unto, whited, speculars." How will you escape the sentence of hell? Jesus knew that the Pharisees and scribes were going to the way that they couldn't be saved, and they were leading other people to the way of hell. And he also knew that their hearts had been hardened with evil, so they could hardly turn back. So, even by such strong expressions, he wanted to make them realize what they were doing. He tried to save even the Pharisees and scribes, even, they could realize and repent. And Jesus wanted people not to go wrong by such a strong rebuke. But there are people who are going wrong. But if you just let them be, it's not goodness. It would be better if you, can solve it with, just mild rebuke without expanding the righteous indignation. Otherwise, you may save souls, even by rebuking them. Well, there is one more, there is an important thing. When Jesus was angry, he didn't have any evil or ill feelings in his heart at all. He didn't have other choice but to keep the kingdom of God and save souls. Actually, his heart was filled with love for souls. He wanted to save them even with his life. We call this righteous indignation. Dictionary defines righteous indignation as a reactive emotion of anger over mistreatment. Spiritually, though, we don't say yet righteous indignation at every time you get angry for righteousness. Only when you have no ill feelings can it be called righteous indignation. So, at least, you gotta come into spirit, that is the second level of goodness. You may expand righteous indignation. There is a simple method to know whether your anger is righteous indignation or not. When you get angry about someone's unrighteousness, do you want to save him even by sacrificing yourself? Or do you hate him and not want to see him? Jesus and fathers of faith sometimes got angry for the sake of God's kingdom and soul's salvation. But when people harmed them and even killed them, they rather forgave them and asked for their salvation. Can you see how beautiful their heart was in God's sight? Sometimes we see unrighteousness in our lives, and we may get angry to stop it. At the time, because we know the holiness gospel and the spiritual law, we should check our heart thoroughly. Only when you do with goodness will God work to make things done and move people's heart. We witnessed it through Mammon's ministry. It goes the same with us at this time. Before, Pastor Hagyun Lim said, "I think God is forcing us to become good through this time of blessing." That's right. God is making us to become, good, more quickly through this time of blessing. We are more careful of our words on the lips. We are more earnestly praying. We are keeping our positions, right? So what about those who are in charge of souls? They are more awake and arming themselves with the word than before to keep their entrusted souls. When we meet our senior pastor, how wonderful we will be changed, and how more wonderfully will we change in the future. We may become a beautiful and a broad vessel who can welcome with tears even those who did extreme evil if they repent and come back. If we prepare our vessel of goodness like that, then God will accomplish everything rapidly and smoothly. Just as Mammon's history has been always so, through this time of blessing, we will have a great turn of event and a victory both in spirit and body. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, only if you reach the second level of goodness, you will be filled with happiness and thanksgiving and with the grace and love of the Father every day. Then if you can reach a higher level of goodness than this, how happy and blessed you will be. So, what is the third level of goodness? It is a level at which goodness moves even the hearts of those who do evil against you. Even if the other person acts in evil, gives you pain, gives you hard times, and hates you, you do not have any ill feelings or think in evil, but only understand and forgive that person. Up to this level is the second level of goodness, right? The third level of goodness moves the heart of a person and gives joy and happiness to that person, even when they act in evil towards you. The third level of goodness would rather think, what is the reason that he acts evil like that? How can I resolve, you know, how can I soothe his heart? There is a big difference between the second and third level of goodness. When you have no ill feelings and do not react with evil against evil, it is a passive goodness that is at the second level. However, the third level of goodness is an active level of goodness, where evil can be repaid with goodness. Both the second level and third level of goodness is the state that you have cast off every form of evil. But extent to you have fulfilled goodness is different. While we are growing in faith, we keep the word of God with the goal of New Jerusalem, right? There are four kinds of word in the word of God: do's and don't do's and keeps and castaways. You are diligently keeping them, right? As it says, not to do and to cast off. If you cast off flesh and every form of evil, it's the state of spirit. You've cast off all ill feelings and evil. Even if other, you know, does evil to you, you will not have any ill feelings. It is the second level of goodness, I said. However, even in the second level of goodness, you can have such good words and deeds that can move the heart of the other person. When we are changed, we don't only cast off evil, but also practice goodness. So, as much as we accumulate goodness in heart, we can act in goodness. But at the second level of goodness, you cannot always impress you know, a wicked person with good actions. Sometimes you say good words to make him feel comfortable, but some other times you just don't, you know, comfort him because you haven't achieved perfect goodness yet. But at the third level of goodness, you will always have good words and deeds. You do good all the time, not occasionally. It's because not only you have cast off every form of evil according to the word of God, but also even you have fulfilled the words do's and keeps. You may be considered to come into all spirit. If you can practice and model the acts of goodness in this kind of verse from the depths of your heart and in a natural way, you are at the third level of goodness. As written in Matthew chapter 5, verses 39 to 42. You will not do these actions not by force, but from the depths of your heart. You know, you don't calculate your loss or gain. You don't even care about, you know, sacrificing yourself to fulfill what is good. Even if there is a person who acts like an enemy towards you, you would only think of the ways to have peace with him. Likewise, the extent of fulfilling goodness is different between the second level and the third level. At the third level of goodness, you know, you always have words and deeds, good words and deeds. But at the second level of goodness, you cannot do so yet. Therefore, you shouldn't think you are at the third level of goodness just because you don't have any ill feelings in you and you speak with good words even to those who did evil to you. You should check whether your good deeds are always the same in any kind of situation. Well, in the Bible, there are many people who achieved the level of goodness. Well, let me tell you about David and Daniel. Well, David and Daniel achieved the fourth level of goodness, and they are in very high positions in New Jerusalem. First is about David. David was a hero who bravely fought in the war for the country, for the king, and for the people. And he helped the nation greatly by acting wisely as a loyal servant and general of King Saul. First, Saul was, you know, cherished David so much. However, when he saw David was loved by people more than himself, better than himself, you know, he became jealous of David. Even he passed judgment on David and said, David may take the country from me. So Saul, you know, sent David to a very fiercest war to have him killed, and even sent his soldiers to the house of David to kill him. And then Saul himself led the army and continually chased David to kill him. He searched every place of land of Judah to find David, but because God protected David, Saul, you know, could not catch him. David did nothing wrong, but he had to run from Saul, who had chased after him for a long time. One day, he had a great chance to kill Saul. While chasing David, Saul happened to come into a cave. Unfortunately, it was the cave where David and his men were hiding. Saul went into the cave, unarmed, to take a rest where David was hiding. So Saul's life was at the hand of David. In reality, if David, you know, killed Saul, everything would have been solved. He could kill his enemy very easily. He would not have needed to be chased any longer. So far, you know, he had to hide here and there without sleeping or eating enough. If Saul died, he didn't have to. Most of all, Saul disobeyed God, and David would become the king. David's men were looking at him, saying that, you know, it was the chance that God gave to him to kill him. But David did not even think of revenge, but just cut off a piece of Saul's clothing. Because Saul was once anointed by God, he was at the hand of God. That's what David thought. And when he was far away from Saul, he called Saul. And he expressed his true heart to Saul with such good words. The piece of Saul's clothing became the proof that David didn't kill him, even though he had a chance to kill Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 11 says, "Now my father, see, indeed, see the edge of your robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the edge of your robe and did not kill you. Know and perceive that there is no evil or rebellion in my hands, and I have not sinned against you, though you are lying in wait for my life to take it." David was very humble, and although Saul hated him so much and chasing after him, David called him father. Furthermore, he said he was just like a dog compared to King Saul, and to comfort in Saul's heart, you know, he promised not to harm the king at all. Saul became hate David because of envy and jealousy. But David rather consoled Saul's heart, saying that, you know, he was nothing compared to Saul. And he promises to do nothing against King Saul. Amazingly, listening to this confession, even evil Saul was moved and he shed his tears. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 16 and 17 says, "When David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, 'Is this your voice, my son David?' And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, 'You are more righteous than I, for you have dealt well with me, while I have dealt wickedly with you.'" Saul withdrew his soldiers. David didn't have a hatred towards Saul. In addition, he only wanted to impress Saul. How can I move his heart? How can I solve that misunderstanding? How can I make him feel comfortable? Because he thought like this all the time, he could sincerely humble himself. If you pay evil only with goodness, there is nothing on which Satan can work. So even an evil person cannot but be moved in his heart. Well, of course, because the evilness of Saul was so great, his evil was motivated again later, and he chased David again. But at that particular moment, by the light of goodness of David, the darkness was driven away from Saul, so that even evil Saul repented and turned back. What about Daniel? He was wrongfully accused and was thrown into a lion's den. Daniel just prayed to God as usual, but the wicked officials used it as a snare to accuse Daniel. Daniel knew that they were plotting evil scheme. The statute was made to make him fall into the trap. They must be watching Daniel if he prayed or not from every place and every time. However, if Daniel had attacked them first, he must not have been trapped. He could have made a protest, quibbling over the statute. Or he could have said to the king, "Wicked people are trying to kill me from their jealousy. It's a wicked plot." As you know already, though, Daniel didn't say anything about it. He would have not been caught if he ceased to pray, or if he ceased praying, or if he prayed silently. But he didn't act cowardly, even though he could have died. As usual, he opened the window toward Jerusalem and prayed and cried. He was delivered to the wicked officials, and Daniel came to be put into lion's den. Is it possible for a man to survive if he is put into a cave which is full of hungry lions? Well, it's impossible. In a movie, those Christians were eaten by hungry lions in the Colosseum, right? But spectators were enjoying it very much. Not a single person could escape from that moment, right? No. If, by any chance, if someone survives, another punishment is waiting for them. Although Daniel didn't commit any sin, he was punished to be killed. So unfair, right? But he didn't have any ill feelings against those who slandered him. He was not even disappointed by the king, who loved him very much, for not saving his life. He just followed the law. Is it because he didn't know he was in danger? No. It's because he wanted to leave everything to God's will. We've heard from senior pastor many times. We gotta look back on ourselves when we face some difficulties. If there is evil in the sight of God, then we gotta repent right away and break the wall of sin and pray to God. Then God will help us to solve the problems. If there is nothing evil you did, but you face the hardships, then it is a blessing. If you give thanks and if you rejoice and overcome the refinements well, then you can glorify God and you can change all the more quickly. The greater the refinements, the greater glory you can give to God. But normal people cannot do this even though they know this rule well. Even though they know that, you know, if they solve their problems by goodness, that which is the method of God, they can solve that problem so easily. However, once they face trouble, you know, they use their own method. However, as you grow, as your faith grows up, then you will solve any problem with the word of, with the method of God. Then you can gain better result. Daniel would have known it. Daniel would know it. So he didn't use any man's thought. Even if he dies in a lion's cave, he believes that there was a good will of God. That's what he thought. Everything should be onto the hand of God. Daniel was put into a lion's den. The king, you know, mourned. So his heart ached a lot. Evil people might have rejoiced, right? However, there was such great twist overnight. Early in the morning, the king went to the cave and called for Daniel. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Well, the king would not have thought that Daniel would have heard it. He thought that Daniel is already dead. However, there was a voice from the cave. Daniel chapter 6, verse 21 and 22 says, Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. He said to the king, live forever. That was the first sentence Daniel said to the king who was trying to kill Daniel. Verse 22, My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him. And also towards you, O king, I have committed no crime. He didn't say, O king, since I was sinless, Father God knew it, and he protected me. But you didn't protect me, even though you said you loved me, even though I was innocent. Why did you put me into a lion's den? Daniel didn't say like this. Up to the last moment, he spoke the words of love and service. When the king heard this, he must have been moved in his heart deeply. He was overjoyed for the fact that Daniel was alive, and he checked once again the goodness and love and truth of Daniel. Daniel 6:23 says, Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he had trusted in God. The king immediately punished those who tried to kill Daniel, and he glorified Daniel, and gave a decree to his whole nation to respect the God of Daniel. God's glory and Daniel's glory was expanded to the whole nation. Daniel relied on God, not only with words, but also with actions. He showed the evidence. He didn't do evil. He didn't deal with matters with human thought. But he completely relied on the Almighty God. And he acted with utmost goodness. Because his goodness and faith pleased God, God was also glorified greatly by Daniel. Brothers and sisters, lastly, let me tell you about the fourth level of goodness, which is the highest level. At this level, you can give your life unsparingly, even for those who do evil to you. It's the level of goodness of God who gave His one and only begotten Son as an atoning sacrifice for sinners. It is the level of goodness of our Lord Jesus, who gave of His life not only for the righteous, but also for sinners. I gave you some examples for first and second and third level of goodness. However, think about this case. There is someone who sacrifices his life to someone who tries to kill him. Obviously, you can be moved in your heart. Someone and explained what he saw in his vision, spiritual vision. This is what I heard from him, okay? I cannot recall correctly, but it is very, similar. Back then, Romans was the best empire, strongest empire. The Roman soldiers were the strongest soldiers. The Roman soldiers were taking care of the crucifixion. You know, before the crucifixion, the sinners or criminals usually be beaten greatly. And then some criminals died even before the crucifixion. What the elder saw was that scene where Jesus was severely whipped by Roman soldiers, surrounded by them. His face got bruised, not to mention his whole body. You know, when we, watch, a performance, we could recognize the actor's, face. However, since he was severely whipped by Roman soldiers, our Jesus' face got swollen up. So people could not recognize him by his face. But one soldier stopped whipping Jesus because Jesus and that soldier had the eye contact. What kind of eye did Jesus have? Jesus' eye was full of mercy and love, even though he was looking at the soldier who was beating him. Jesus got no evil on his face, and he even smiled at the soldier. Even though there was an excruciating pain, even though you beat me, you look lovely to me. He had that kind of look on his face. Usually, people become very upset if he is innocent, but he was greatly beaten. How can he do that? How can he look at the person who was beating him with a smile? Jesus was like that. He didn't do evil. He didn't ask for life. He was like just a little lamb. He even made the smile to the Roman soldier. Can you imagine how the soldier was surprised? Is he the real sinner? I don't think it's right. He might have this kind of thought. So after the eye contact, the Roman soldier could not beat Jesus properly. I don't know what happened to the soldier. Well, regardless of what the soldier thought, Jesus was whipped. He took the throne of crown. He took cross and went up to the Golgotha. And he was crucified on the cross. And even on the cross, Jesus prayed for sinners. Jesus wanted even Jewish people, Pharisees, and Roman soldiers. Jesus wanted them to understand the message of the cross and be saved. That's why he said in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. The sufferings of Jesus that he took until he shed all his blood and water and died on the cross were unbearable for a man. Nevertheless, why did Jesus take this with joy? It was to make us God's children by redeeming us from our sins. Further, it was to make us God's true children who have goodness and clean heart. Even though we might have insulted him and mocked him. At the time, nobody knew why Jesus had to take so much suffering. There were just some women who truly loved Jesus and followed him. Most people said evil words about Jesus. They said, he's a sinner. He seduces others. He's a demon possessed. They considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted, as said in Isaiah 53:4. In other words, they thought God was punishing Jesus because Jesus was a sinner. But God said about it completely different. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, "But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." The Bible says, he suffered for our own sin. It says, the verse continues to say, the chastening for our all well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Jesus was hung on a tree to redeem us from the curse of the death that was inflicted upon sinners, and shed his spotless blood to redeem sinners from their sins at once. The reason he was whipped was to free us from all kinds of diseases. He wore a crown of thorns to forgive all our sins that we commit in our thoughts. He was nailed through his hands and feet to forgive our sins that we commit with our hands and feet. Likewise, Jesus came to this earth to give his everything for us sinners. And finally, he gave even his own life to give us eternal life. So, we should understand this love and grace of the Lord from the depths of our heart. And we should fulfill what he desired of us, taking up all the sufferings. It is to become the spiritual children whom God wants. Children who love God to the utmost degree and whose hearts are truly good and perfect. In the Bible, we can find many people who have reached this kind of fourth level of goodness, like Jesus. First of all, we can take Moses as an example. Exodus chapter 32, we see that people of Israel kept disobeying God's word after the Exodus. They couldn't be patient for 40 days while Moses was in Mount Sinai to communicate with God. But they made a golden calf and worshipped it, drinking and playing around it. God was disappointed and his wrath was about to fall on them. But after cleaning up everything, Moses came back to God and prayed to him with an extremely regretful heart. He prayed and said, "But now, if you will, forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out from your book which you have written." Actually, Moses didn't have any obligation to do so. He's already done God-given duties with his past. He's tried to plant faith to them by showing great works of God. They walked across the Red Sea like on a dry land. And Moses bring down the miracles, such as, you know, giving the manna and the quails and making water come out from the rock and changing bitter water into sweet water. He manifested so many works of God's power. However, the people were not satisfied. They always complained. They complained against Moses if there is anything against their thought. They even tried to stone Moses. And they even tried to go back to Egypt. Moses was called as a leader. All he had to do was just to lead people to the land of Canaan. But if the Israelites did evil, and even if they didn't want to go to the land of Canaan, then Moses didn't need to. He could have said, "Father, I did my best. However, they are so evil and they keep disobeying me, so I cannot do my job." He could have said so. However, he understood the will of God and heart of God so well. Even though God was angry at the continuing disobedience of the Israelites, but he knew that destroying the people of Israel was not Father God's will. So that's why he gave that prayer to Father God to save their souls. In the New Testament, there is also an apostle who prayed with the heart that resembles Moses. It was Apostle Paul. And he reached the highest level of, the very high level in New Jerusalem. Well, a couple of years ago, our senior pastor said, if I can save thousands of souls, then I would truly want to go to hell. He said, "I would take cross if Father God asked me to take the cross just as Jesus did." But this is the confession that no one can easily make. But we heard it and we felt his heart. Because since the start of this church, he's been always like that. Since he met God, he's lived his life with countless prayers and fastings. Even when he was in theology college, he manifested God's power. Even pastors from other churches asked senior pastors to solve their problems. When senior pastor was preparing for the start of the church, there were some evil people who, you know, spread bad rumors about him. Nobody checked the fact, and he was about to be expelled from the college. However, senior pastor only gave thanks to God and rejoiced, and dealt other people with goodness. So later, the problem was solved. And the person who made the false rumor didn't want to even register for the new semester. Senior pastor, you know, and asked him to go to school and study together. So in the end, there was a three rewards for the graduates. The senior pastor received only the two and gave one to some other person. Everything was done beautifully in goodness. The same thing happened in 1998 and 1999. Workers of the church changed, and they tried to destroy this church. The senior pastor wept and prayed for those souls to God. He didn't do evil against evil for evil. He did only goodness. It wasn't easy moment. But through the moment, our members got stronger and the good grains were born. And truth was revealed and everything was well managed. And then a newer level of power of God came upon him. And it was the beginning of the world ministry truly. Through the overseas crusades, he spread the power of God all over the world. Father God used his way to bless his own people. Since I was not Christian in 1998 and 1999, I didn't know about it. But after I read, you know, his, you know, testimonial book, I realized it was such a great incident. Then I could realize that, you know, it was such beautiful confession, you know, not to make any complaints against those evil people. I heard the senior pastors in the spiritual love chapter sermon. He even said that, you know, he want to get those evil people back, even for now. And I was surprised to hear that. I realized that that's the true level of goodness. Senior pastor even asked, you know, those people who listened to his message later, let me read it for you. Let me read, you know, what he said to those people. We've experienced in 1998 and 1999, so many people said, Senior pastor, I love you. I love you, my shepherd. But they left the church and they tried to destroy the church. They confessed their love for me. But how could they change? However, I've never hated in my heart. I never hated them in my heart. I just want them to come back and repent and reach salvation. Those who attend this service through the internet, you gotta repent and turn back and receive salvation and go to heaven. Father God proved it. Father God proved that there is no sin. There is no fault in the church and in me. So Father God gave me even greater power. Right after the broadcasting incident, we began in the world ministry right away. Isn't this evidence? Isn't this the evidence that Father God loved this church? And Father God is with this church? And Father God is right with this church? Since I was sinless, Father God protected me. If I had committed sin, Father God would have forsaken me already. So those who left this church, please come back now and repent and destroy the wall before Father God and let's go to New Jerusalem together. At this level of fourth level of goodness, you can be greatly loved by Father God because you are a true child of God. So we gotta long to achieve this kind of level of goodness. Let me conclude this message, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Tonight, I explain to you what the goodness is that God acknowledges and the four levels of goodness. 3 John chapter 1 verse 11 says, Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Although we're living in the sinful generation, as it says, we should not imitate what is evil, but what is good. By doing so, we have to become the faultless children of God by doing goodness unchangingly so that we can keep glorifying Father God. Well, listening to this message so far, are there any of you who think that this level will only result in difficulties for you since you have to sacrifice yourself, observe losses, and yield of yourself in order to reach a higher level of goodness? Well, those who act good do not confront even when they are unfairly treated. They rather look back upon themselves and search God's will. You may feel it not good. You may think, you know, it can't be simply solved if they confront. But why don't they do it but suffer? Well, of course, in reality, you might have to sacrifice yourself and take the burden of the moment. But if your heart is filled with true goodness, you would not feel this is something difficult. You would rather be joyful and happy about doing the very nature of true goodness itself. Also, what is important is that you will have stronger spiritual light as you get rid of evil from you and accomplish goodness in you, since it is spiritual power to be sinless. Once you enter the second level of goodness, the enemy, devil, and Satan cannot work due to your spiritual light. So tests and trials will leave you. Even if you face a trial, you will be blessed because you will pass it with goodness. How then will it be if you enter the third level of goodness? The evil one will not, you know, cannot even touch you. And you can destroy the deceptive, misleading methods of the enemy, devil, and Satan. A person who has acted with evil towards you can be moved in an instant by your words and deeds of goodness so that he will repent and turn from his ways. The reason this happens is that spiritually, the enemy devil that was working on the other person leaves because your spiritual light is so strong. That spiritual light reaches and influences the small portion of goodness that is remaining in the other person. Therefore, I want you to remember that goodness is not just being nice and showing weakness by giving up. Instead, it is the power to drive away the enemy Satan and devil and destroy their schemes. It is so, even though it seems to be more unfair to act in goodness than using fleshly methods at the moment. Father God, who searches all things, will remember everything. He will let you bear good fruit at the best time. And by his way, he will solve the problem wonderfully. David also let Saul live, following goodness. Saul seemed to repent, but soon he chased David back again. And David fled again. When I read the Bible before, I couldn't understand it. I thought, David should have killed David. I mean, David should have killed Saul. Why didn't he do so? Saul was anointed by God, but he already changed. God abandoned him, and, you know, he didn't seem to repent. I think David should have killed Saul at the moment. Because of Saul, David and his hundreds of men suffered. But because David gave a chance to him, chance to Saul, when time came, God himself judged him. David was loved more greatly by God. He became the greatest king in Israel history. And he reached a high position in heaven. Let's think about the twist in Daniel's case. It goes the same with Daniel. He didn't change what he made up in his mind before God, even before death. He rather acted with utmost goodness to the enemy who tried to kill him. He knew that there was a plot to kill him, but he didn't try to solve the problem by his own strength. He left everything unto God. Then at the moment, Daniel seemed to be killed in the lion's den. But God was moved by God. Daniel's goodness did the work that was not understood by human thought. Daniel was not harmed at all in the lion's den. If Daniel had solved the problem with his own method, he could have saved his life, but he couldn't have glorified God. But through this, God's work was spread to the whole nation and gave great glory to God. Wicked people are punished by their own evil when time came. Likewise, the power of goodness is so great. It can demolish the works of the enemy, devil, and Satan and give glory to God. God always walks with those who have reached this level of goodness and answers them according to the wishes in their hearts. What about Jesus? When he was beaten and suffered by a creature, he seemed to have no strength. He was like a sinner. But because he didn't have sin, he resurrected and he broke the power of death. The door of salvation for all people opened wide. God, who remembered that he lowered himself and obeyed to the point of death, lifted the Lord highly, and he became the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He received the great glory that could not be compared to the previous suffering. What about Manmin ministry? No matter how evil person he met, how incomprehensible matter he faced, senior pastor said only to do with good, to forgive, to give if he wants to receive. When you do good like this, it seems, it may seem to be unfair and difficult at the time. But when the time came, God solved all the problems. He moved the people's heart, let them, let us find the solutions, and then make us receive unexpected blessings. He made all things to be connected and done. It cannot be resolved by human strength, but God, when God solves it, it is solved wonderfully and beautifully. And later, the goodness we planted was revealed and we glorified God greatly. Seeing this time of blessing of our church now, I once felt that the blessing was coming very near. It began in April, and after a little while, the door to North Korea started to open. It was an unexpected event, right? It made our faith stronger to watch things that had been told from this church's start were fulfilled. Also, it was a skill of God that helped us to go through this time much more easily. God's fulfilling the great providence toward Manmin even now. If we quickly prepare good vessels through this refinement and become more wise and spiritual warriors, God will accomplish the wonderful turn of event by goodness, and he will bear abundant fruits. The power of recreation that cannot be compared to the previous one will be manifested, and many people will come back, as senior pastor said. The day when we will say, this is why he says it is the time of blessing, with wonder will come. I hope that all of us may hope for that day and do good one by one from now on. Now is the time when we take care of weak souls around us and gather our hearts to worship services and prayer. We should do our duties diligently so that Father God is pleased when he counts it later. If we are faithful and change, we will be able to achieve the heart of goodness step by step. May you quickly cast off evil so that God can walk with you at every moment and He can be pleased with you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen.